Well, are we willing to investigate a little bit more levels of forgiveness?
Be open.
Yeah. So, with Hazara tonight, Khan, he would tell us he does tell us in the volume that is titled Healing, it's on healing, and the mind world, that what can be medicinal is the use of the breath, the use of sacred words, sacred phrases, prayer. All of this sets up a vibration that can readjust, harmonize, or transform.
Do you sell the Buddhist book on the breath?
No, we're really featuring more Anayat Khan's work here in this. Not that we can't access it, but this is really this body of teachings that we're focusing on. So there are sacred words that we can use, kind of mantra. In the Sufi tradition, we call it wazifa. And they are words that defy our reason. They come from another language. In this case, we're using Arabic. Arabic is a very old vibratory language. It is also very open to interpretation. Okay, so one word can actually have a lot of different meanings. So it's beautiful in that way. It's not rigid. It's a fluid language. So I'd like to talk about these four words, these special words that have to do with forgiveness. Okay? And this is, I'm extracting some excerpts from the book titled Physicians of the Heart. And it is said to do these four words together have a special alchemical result. But I think it's good to study each one of them individually, and then we can work with them coupled together and then as a series. Are you game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They may be words that some of you are familiar with. We've done this before in a retreat, but maybe repetition is good, as we know. So the first word is Ghafar. Ghafar. It's spelled G-H-A-F-F-A-R. Ghafar. And the whole series actually is Ghafar, Ghafur, Tawab, Afu. And I'll spell each one of them and I'll go through them individually. But they do have this intimate relationship to each other because what they show us is a different view, a different aspect of forgiveness. When we say these words as a prayer, we use as the prefix the word ya, ya. When it's used in classical Arabic, we say al. Okay, the, al is like the. Okay. So when you hear me say these words, then around this name, you'll know what's going on. Okay. Ya Ghafar. You may make, so this is talking about us, a kind of forgiveness for oneself. We, you, may make the same mistake over and over again. 100 times, 1,000 times, even 1,000 times a day. Every day. But such repeated errors never place you outside the realm of divine forgiveness. Repetitiveness is no problem for Al-Ghafar. Its nature is repetitive. Al-Ghafar's forgiveness is continuous and repetitive. So think of it almost like a water wheel. Okay, it just keeps going. Or a windmill, it just keeps going. That forgiveness is constantly being poured upon us, pour upon us, pour upon us. The other word that's really a couple with this word, although the whole series has its own special power, and magnetism, but the other word that's the couple with ghafar is ghafor. Al-ghafor in the group is that that carries the meaning of penetrating right to the essence of a thing. So ghafar is perpetual and continuous, all-encompassing. Ghafor is penetrating. It just goes right to where the medicine is needed. It goes right into the deepest place in the heart. Therefore, Al-Ghafar goes right to the worst crime we have ever committed in our lives. It goes right to the worst thing that has ever been done to us. Both. If we have something in our hearts and our minds that we feel so ashamed for, as if we don't even deserve forgiveness and we're living with it, ghafor can help. And is also we feel something has been done to us that is so unforgivable and we just don't want to because it's not right, ghafor can help. Whether it's a grudge of self-loathing or a grudge held against another, the depth of feeling is the same. God's forgiveness reaches that deepest place. From a medical point of view, and we could say a metaphysical or spiritual medical point of view, we might say that Al-Ghafar is the remedy. Al-Ghafar, the previous one, self-generating, ever-perpetuating. Ghafar is a remedy for a chronic condition. So something like that is just ongoing, okay? But ghafor is for an acute condition. See the difference? So it might be if we wanted to make an analogy to body, you know, ghafar would be treating asthma, which would be a long-term condition that we might live with, and ghafor would be bronchitis that we get. Acute. Okay? Yes. By calling on these two sacred names, we can actively moisturize and heal the cracks in our being. Isn't that nice? I like that. By calling on these two names, we can actively moisturize and heal the cracks in our being that allow the water of life to dissipate and our hearts to dry up. Repetition of Ya Ghafor, brings a pliability that allows us to overcome brittleness of character. Repetition of Ya Ghafar and Ya Ghafor brings a pliability that allows us to overcome brittleness of character. I mean, we know what happens when something becomes very brittle. What happens?
We hear cracked joints.
It breaks.
We say,
it just breaks.
And y'all go, fool, and we will no longer have joints that crack.
Well, and it's hopefully more than that. Hopefully more than that. Yeah. But you know, a willow, how it bends and it moves. You know, bamboo, how it bends and moves. It's pliable. It's succulent. It's full of moisturizer, you might say, nature's moisturizer. It is a soothing balm to our woundedness. It begins to ease the pain that has caused us to isolate ourselves in our relationships in life. These words also give meaning to, in the classical Arabic, it's like the salve that is put, on these skins that are used to carry water. And when they get dry, they get cracks and the water leaks out of them. It's like us, right? If we get brittle, we can't hold the waters of life, the joy of life. So these skins that are often made out of camel, they're moisturized. Well, that's also the meaning at a physical level of ghafar and ghafor. These words also have that meaning. So it's like applying, these words are like applying a salve to those parts that are need to be healed and soothed. Does that make sense?
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it is beautiful. So can we work with these two words separately, and then we'll go into the other two words? Let's just work with them a little bit. I get my little prayer beads here. And we'll precede the each word with ya. Yagafar, Yagafor, Yagafar, Yagafor, Yagafar, Yagafor, Yagafar. Yagafor, 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 Yagafor. Yagafor, Yagafar, Yagafor, Yagafar, Yagafor, Yagafar, Yagafor. Feel the perpetual aspect of forgiveness of Gafar, and that penetrating, reaching just the place that needs the medicine, Gafar, touching both the chronic and acute part of us, or parts of us, that need to be soothed and healed and forgiven, that also opens the way to forgiveness. Yagafar, Yagafor, 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 Yagafar, Yagafor. Into this vibration, you may wish to again invite.
Leo,
it's okay.
Leo,
come on. Come on, buddy. Come on. I'd like for you to lay down. So we will bring in to, if you like, bring in to this awareness, perhaps even both, the one that you wish to forgive and the one that you wish to ask forgiveness of, both. And they may be the same person, who knows, or different. One need not do anything more than invite this person or persons in and let the wazifa, the sacred phrase, be the medicine beyond our human reason or intellect. There is a power of vibration that soothes and heals.
Yaga for.
We'll move on to include the other two words of this series. The first one is Tawab, and it is spelled T-A-W-W-A-B. T-A-W-W-A-B. And if I didn't spell Ghafoor, I know I spelled Ghafar. Ghafoor is G-H-A-F-U-R. G-H-A-F-U-R. That's the second. The part, the wazifa, the practice that penetrates to the source of where the hurt is. It pinpoints it. It's for the acute condition. With Tawab, you actually become able to turn away from perceived defects and shadows and face directly towards the divine perfection. We literally turn from the defects and turn toward God. We turn from the defects and we turn towards God. From and toward are both expressed simultaneously in this same verb. From and toward are expressed simultaneously in this verb, again, from the Arabic language.
Pleased with something and complaining, I can say, Tawab! Bring out in a beautiful song, Tawab, Tawab, Tawab.
Perhaps. Or breathe it in and out of yourself. What does it mean to say we turn from a defect and towards God? We are turning towards, or are returning to the source. A tawab, a quality that manifests continuously without beginning, end, or interruption. This allows us to see Allah, to see God, is always turning towards us, always returning to us. We could also say the same is for us. If we use some will, we can turn towards God and return to that divine source, which is always within. The kingdom of God is within. With the invocation of Ya Tawab, we turn from the defect that we perceive to face God, who's always facing us. But maybe we don't see because we're too focused on this narrow view. We haven't taken the bigger view.
Could it be seeing God within? the defect.
Say it again, David.
You may God within the defect.
Perhaps.
It's but a change of perspective where you're focusing on defect or shadow. Turning towards is just revealing the God within that.
Well, and that gets back to the hidden God and all, hidden hand of God in all things. It's a matter of perspective, isn't it? And view. Yeah, I think so too. If we can live that, that would be a very good thing for us all.
Love is blind to faults.
Yeah.
So to love, it's only divine.
It allows you to let go of the grudge that you've been holding on to and face toward the light. It allows you to let go of the grudge that you've been holding on to and face towards the light. Yatawab is deeply healing because negativity is transformed into its opposite. This is spiritual alchemy. This is spiritual alchemy. How extraordinary. Please don't just do da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the names. Really feel the essence of them and let the vibration truly resonate, and it can change us. It can change us. So the last name in the series is Afu, A-F-U-W, Afu. Very beautiful explanation of this stage of forgiveness. The ultimate stage of forgiveness is expressed by Al-Afu. Let's begin with a physical metaphor that is part of the word's root meaning. This is an image of the wind blowing across the desert vastness and completely erasing all tracks in the sand. Afu. 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 This is an image of the wind blowing across the desert vastness and completely erasing all the tracks in the sand. It is as if no one had ever walked there. Such a fundamental image in the root of the word shows us that with Al-Afu, you don't even notice the fault. Al-Afu means completely forgive. It means to completely forgive, with no trace of the fault even subtly retained. There is no trace of resentment or memory. It's as if that has been polished, that groove, that track, that imprint has been polished. So to review again, and then we'll do the practice. Yagafar means what? Can you tell me? We had Gafar and Kafur, continuous, perpetual forgiveness. No matter what, God keeps forgiving. Okay. And Gafar is?
Focus, forgiveness, and penetrating.
Yeah, it goes right to the point.
You used a metaphor once of the waterfall.
The waterfall.
That
is a good one. Yeah.
Powerful.
Yes, that's it. Okay, I'll go back to that. So that was with Gafur. In the waterfall, if you think about it, in the physical, natural world, that water, what does it do?
Cleanses everything.
It cleanses everything, but what's happening under the water, it plunges through and it's carving out also, right? It's making a deep, deep space in the earth. So that can, you know, that can happen, that deep, deep plunge. place that's wounded, that maybe even we cover up, we mask, we think, we don't even maybe know it's there. But it'll touch it anyway. Thank you, David, for reminding me, Sharif, of reminding me of that. And then Tawab, it reminds us that the all-forgiving one, that God, is facing us all the time. We just need to let go of our absorption with the limited self, the absorption with the limited self, the kind of perpetual thinking about the very thing that makes us unhappy, going over it and over it and over it again. How many of us do that? We have to just go over it and over it and over it. But this is saying, use your will to turn away from that defect and turn towards God. It's really extraordinary. But who are we hurting when we go over these things?
Ourselves.
We are. We're hurting ourselves. So this is a way, and in a way, we also need to forgive ourselves for perpetually hurting ourselves. So, you know, use these practices. Let them do their work. Let them do their work. Okay. So when we can let go of our absorption with the limited self and turn toward the light of the divine source. The divine source. At this point, divine forgiveness turns into al-afu, which is the doorway in the heart where all attachments to hurt and pain, all memories regarding hurt and pain, are absolved from within. They're absolved from within. In this station, meaning spiritual station, in this spiritual station, such impressions are gone like the footprints in the desert after the wind. It is like they were never there. It is like they were never there. Oh, please God, don't we want that? Yeah. There's no sense of mistake that needs to be corrected. So let's go back to that meditation that we began the class with, using the breath, feeling ourselves drawing within to a place of refuge. The refuge, of course, is the shrine of our being. The altar is the heart. We feel in this place, and again, use a visualization of nature if that's helpful to you, or perhaps a sacred church, or a beautiful corner in a library or a museum, whatever that is that gives you great comfort, great solace, great refuge. You just feel content and wrapped up in the most beautiful, blissful contentment one could imagine. Maybe it's just sitting on your own couch near a fire. Whatever that is, let it envelop you and give you that sense of oneness. And wherever that place is, which is ultimately within, we can allow all of these weights that have held us down, either by not forgiving ourselves or not forgiving others, to be untied and released. And we can allow these wazifas, these sacred words, to help transform that in us. Now, when I do this practice, I actually use subtle head gestures. You may do them if you like. You don't need to do them if it's a distraction. But sometimes I think it helps to bring the body into prayer also. And so I feel that allowing the head to rise slightly on Ya Ghafar, this all-encompassing forgiveness, this perpetuated forgiveness, is an appropriate action. And then with Ya Ghafur, That, of course, is penetrating. We allow the head to come down. And with Tawab, we turn to the left as if turning the other cheek and turning towards God. By the way, the left is the individuated self, the place of the spiritual heart of the individual man, woman, humanity. And with Afu, we blow out, imagining the impressions, wherever they reside in our being, are wiped clear like tracks in the sand with a great wind across the desert. And we move the head to the right, right being the place of unity, of the unlimited self. Left is limited, individuated, but right is unlimited, unitive. Listen to everyone in the group. No voice needs to dominate or go at a different rhythm. This will help us. We can support each other in this practice when we're together in a group. Yagafar, Yagafor, Yatawab, Yafu. 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 Now we just say the words without Yah, and we whisper them. They become much more subtle, penetrating ever more deep. Afu. And now just on the breath, breathe in, Gafar, and breathe out, Gafor, breathe in, Tawab, breathe out, Afu, at your own pace, silently, inwardly, subtly. Those in our Murid circle would like to take up this practice for the next while in their own work, inner work. Please feel invited to do so if this speaks to you. Then perhaps there's work to be done, and I think there always is. In closing, before we say the Khatum and move on, I'd like to read from Nurunisa's beautiful book on the Jataka tales, which of course come from the Jataka Mala, the teachings of the various incarnations and compassionate giving of oneself of the Lord Buddha. How brilliant she was to bring this book in the form of a children's book to teach these lessons. She, like her father, bridged east and west in this way. So this is called The Guilty Dogs. Kind of ties into the subject a little bit, doesn't it? One day, a king drove through the city in his magnificent chariot drawn by 6 white horses. And at the fall of night, when he returned, the horses were taken to the stable, but the chariot was left in the courtyard with the harnesses. And when everyone was asleep in the palace, it started to rain. "This is our time to have some fun," said the palace dogs, when they saw the leather harnesses wet and softened by the shower. Down they went, on tiptoe, into the courtyard, and bit and gnawed at the beautiful straps. And after this playing the whole night, they slipped away before dawn. "The straps of the royal chariot eaten, destroyed," explained with horror the stablemen as they entered the courtyard the next morning. And with trembling hearts, they went to tell the king. "Gracious Lord," they said, "the trappings of the royal chariot have been destroyed during the night. It is certainly the work of dogs," shh, cover up Leo's ears, please, "who have been gnawing the beautiful straps." The king rose in fury. And what did he do? "Kill them all," he commanded. "Slay every dog you see in the city." The king's orders soon became known to the 700 dogs of the city, and they all cried bitterly. But there was one dog who was their chief, and he loved them and protected them. And in a long procession, they set out to find him. "Why are you gathered together today?" asked the chief dog as he saw them come. "And what makes you all so sad?" "Danger is upon us," replied the dogs. "The leather straps of the royal chariot, which stood during the night in the palace courtyard, have been destroyed, and we are blamed for the damage. The king is furious and has ordered us all to be killed." "It is impossible for any dog of the city to enter the palace gates," thought the chief. "Who therefore could have destroyed the harnesses if not the dogs of the palace? Thus the guilty ones are spared and the innocent ones are to be destroyed? Nay. I will show the guilty ones to the king, and the city dogs shall be saved." Such were the thoughts of the brave chief. And after consoling his 700 followers, he went alone through the city. At every step, men were standing ready to kill him. But his eyes were so full of love that they did not dare touch him. And he walked into the palace, and the royal guards, spellbound, at his appearance, let him pass through the gates. Thus he entered into the hall of justice, where the king sat on his throne, and the court's people stood around. And at sight of their fiery eyes, all remained silent. After some time, the chief spoke. "Great king," he said, "it is your command that all the dogs of the city be killed?" "Yes," replied the king, "it is my command." "What harm have they done, O king?" he asked. "They have destroyed the leather harnesses of the royal chariots," the king replied. "Which dogs have done the harm?" asked the chief. "I know not," replied the king. "Therefore, I've ordered them all to be killed." "Is every dog of your city to be killed?" asked the chief. "Or are some dogs to be allowed to live?" "The royal dogs only are to be allowed to live," the king replied. "O king," said the chief, the dog chief, in a gentle voice, "is your command just? Why should the dogs of the palace be innocent and the dogs of the city be judged guilty? The ones you favor are saved, and the ones you know not are to be killed." Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Okay. "O just king, where is your justice?" The king thought for a while and then said, "Wise chief, tell me then, who are the guilty ones?" "The royal dogs," replied the chief. "Show me that your words are true," said the king. "I will show you," answered the chief. And he ordered that the palace dogs be brought here to the hall of justice and be given kusa grass and buttermilk to drink. You know what happens when a dog eats grass, don't you? The king did as the chief answered, and the royal dogs were brought before him and given kusa grass and buttermilk to eat. Soon after they had eaten, shreds of leather came out of their mouths and fell on the ground. The guilty ones were found. The king rose gently from his throne. "Your words are true," he said to the wise chief. "True and pure. As the raindrops which fall from the sky, I shall never forget you as long as I live." He then ordered that all the dogs of the city be given rich food and royal care every day of their lives, and they all lived happily ever after. But what a great story, huh? Just that, there's so many layers of it, you know, that these mischievous dogs, you know, had their play and then were going about as if they were so innocent, and all the other poor creatures were going to suffer. I mean, there are many metaphors in our modern world that we could look towards in this way. And this chief had the reliance of being the refuge for all these other dogs. Mm-hmm. And his dignity and his love was so great that it disarmed all those that wished him harm and allowed him the courage, like we've talked about today, to meet with the king, present the case, and let then the king really be judged, but based on facts. And the king was so touched by all this that he allowed all the dogs to be free and treated well. How beautiful. How beautiful. So let us close with the prayer Khatun. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our soul, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. We remind you, although not necessary, certainly donations are welcome. They go through our hands to other sources that are in need of help, so the merit is perpetual and continuous.